talks where the Buddha summarizes his basic teachings. He concludes with the phrase, "Aticitta jayogo," being committed to the heightened mind. Now, the heightened mind means raising the state of your mind to something that's higher than the ordinary state. It specifically refers to concentration practice, but then beyond concentration practice to discernment. And then ultimately release. That's the mind that's really heightened. In other words, instead of spinning around after the world, we lift our minds up above it so that no matter how it spins, what direction it spins, what its ups and downs, the mind isn't affected by them. Now, some people feel concerned about this. This is cutting yourself off from your interconnections, and in one way, yes, in one way, no. It's not that you aren't aware of these things. It's not that you behave in an irresponsible way. It's just that you maintain part of your mind safe and secure. For if you let your mind go up and down with this roller coaster ride of life, what strength do you have, both for your own good or for the good of other people? You let yourself get knocked around, spinning around. And then you have no time to really look at what's straight up, what's right up, what's upside down. And you don't have the strength to do what you know is right up. So it's not that we're cutting ourselves off from the rest of the world in the sense of being cold-hearted. It's simply finding a firm basis for ourselves so that whatever we do or say or think comes from that basis. It's not knocked askew. They talk about the four wrong courses of action. Word in Thai, lam iang, which is related to iang, which means tilted. The mind tilts in different directions normally when it goes off course. Either it goes off course because of it likes something, or that it hates something, or it's deluded about something, or it's afraid of something. In other words, we do the things we know are wrong because of one of these four things. It's when you get the mind away from that spinning around that it doesn't tilt in these different directions, doesn't get blown over by the wind. That's a mind you can trust. That's a mind that other people can trust as well. So this is the purpose of heightening the mind, is so you can trust it, so you can depend on it, so you have a reliable sense of what's right and wrong, reliable sense of what should be done and shouldn't be done. And you can rely on your powers to see what the situation is wherever you are, because the mind isn't spinning around with other things. It sets itself apart and is still. Now, John Lee makes the analogy of water in the ocean. The ocean may be full of waves, but if you take a dipper out of the ocean and put it on the beach, the waves die down in the dipper, and then the water can be still. You have to separate the mind out from its objects, separate it from its ordinary concerns, and give it time to settle down and be still. Once it's still, then you can look into it, see what's really there. So this principle of having a part of the mind that's separate from everything else is really important. This is what we work on. Get the mind with one object until it's really solid and secure with that object. And then turn around and look at that quality of awareness in and of itself, which isn't tainted by the object. It knows the object, fully aware, but there's a sense of separateness. Things separate out in the mind, just like cream separating out of milk. You don't have to go into the milk and bit by bit by bit take out every little molecule of fat. Let things sit long enough and things begin to separate. So we're here to heighten the mind. We heighten our virtue, we heighten our discernment, we heighten our concentration. If we don't do this, we spin around with the world. And the spinning of the world isn't innocent. It's not like a simple wheel. It's more like gears in a machine. As they turn, 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 if you're not careful, you get something caught in them. Say your shirt sleeve or any other article of clothing, it gets pulled in, pulled in, pulled in. If you don't let go, you get pulled in too. You get mashed by the gears. Because when the world turns, it doesn't always turn in a nice direction. Things go up and they go down, then they go up again, then they go down again, back and forth like this. And the down tends to smash you, and then the up gets you caught in again. You've got to be careful that you don't get caught either by the ups or the downs. But realize that what the world has to offer is there for you to use as a tool, even your own body as a tool. It's made out of the elements of the world, and we'll go back to those elements when you leave it. So in the meantime, try to get as much use as you can out of it. And you can see what the appropriate use is when you allow the mind to be still and just watch what's going on. Have a sense of what's useful and what's not, what's skillful and what's not. What the body's good for, what potentials you have in the body that are not worth following through. These are all things that you can come to see clearly when you allow the mind to be still. The stillness, that in and of itself heightens the mind to a great degree. And then you can see things a lot more clearly. It's the difference between running down a road and standing still. Say you run past a tree. If someone then asks you, what were the leaves like in the tree? Were there any birds? What were the flowers like? Did you see any animals hidden in the branches? Well, if you run past, you can't see any of this. It's all a blur. If you stop and stand still, though, you have a chance to see. And it's not just looking at trees. You're looking at the way you run your life. And when you stand still and you're not swept up in the currents of things, you can begin to get a better sense of which is the right direction you want to go. What you've done in the past that was helpful or not helpful. What possibilities you have in the future that may be helpful or not helpful. What opportunities present themselves in the present. You see this clearly when you've got that part of the mind that's still. So we practice meditation. Even just the concentration practice is a matter of first clearing away the debris that covers up this sense of stillness, and then learning to make that your basic foundation. So even on the level of concentration, there's a sense of separating out and greater stability, greater well-being for the mind. All the more so as you're discernment grows sharper. As both the stillness of the mind and the insight develop together. So you get a better and better sense of what it means to be skillful, unskillful, and how far skillfulness can go. And what really subtle things the mind is doing that's causing stress, suffering, sense of burdensomeness to itself. You see these things, you can clear them away. And that brings the mind to an even higher state of awareness, more heightened state, in the sense that nothing can touch it. And again, it's not a question of being hard-hearted or cut off from other people. It's just simply a sense that your mind has more and more secure foundation. You can rely on it more. Other people can rely on it more. And that's an important quality for living in this world, because otherwise we just spin around along with the world. If everyone's spinning, who can help anyone else? Who can help themselves? We have to get out of the spinning. Fortunately, we can do that. Being with the spinning or not being with the spinning, that's our choice. The problem is we're not aware that we've made the choice. We're not aware of the alternatives. When we meditate, we begin to see that there are alternative ways of relating to the world. And that we have a choice. We're not bound to a particular way. This is what the Buddhist teachings on karma are all about. Some things in your life are influenced by past actions, but a lot is influenced by what you choose to do right now. We have that choice, either to keep on spinning or to step out.